Marty Moscoane. Welcome to Radio Times. Last night, during the national anthem, players for the Green Bay Packers and Chicago Bears locked arms as they stood on their sides of the field. Ever since President Trump called NFL athletes who knelt during the anthem sons of bitches and said they should be fired by the team owners, many have joined a protest started a year ago by quarterback Colin Kaepernick by taking a knee. Kaepernick said he was making a statement about police brutality and racial inequality. These players and other professional athletes explained that they were protesting the president and exercising their freedom of speech. Here's LeBron James at a press conference on Monday.
Because we know this is the greatest country in the world. It's the land of the free. But we still have problems just like everybody else. And when we have those problems, we have to figure out a way how we come together and be as great as we can be as the people. Because the people run this country, not one individual, and damn sure not him.
A number of owners have supported and even joined in with their players' protest. Critics of the protest say that not standing for the anthem disrespects the flag and the troops who have fought and died for the country. The president is not backing down and said this yesterday to a Fox reporter.
Well, I have so many friends that are owners, and they're in a box. I mean, I've spoken to a couple of them. They say, we are in a situation where we have to do something. I think they're afraid of their players. You want to know the truth. And I think it's disgraceful.
Well, today on Radio Times, we are talking about free speech, the flag, professional sports, veterans, race, and Trump. And joining us is Jesse Washington. He's senior writer at ESPN's The Undefeated. Jesse Washington, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
You're very welcome. And also joining us is Rich Lowry. He is editor at National Review. And Rich Lowry, nice to have you with us on the show as well.
Thanks for having me.
And to our listeners, lines open at 1-888-477-9499. I'm sure you have an opinion about all of this. You can also send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. Jesse, let me begin with you. What were the players saying last night? They stood during the anthem. They were locking arms. We're all now trying to figure out what is being said at these professionals' games. What did you read from the players? And their owners, and I should say their coaches.
Well, let me preface this by saying that I'm someone who believes in unity and believes that it is the solution to many of the ills that we have. So I'm going to look for the bright side and look for the unity in these protests. Many people think that locking arms is a cop-out, a lot of prominent individuals have spoken out against locking arms, saying that's a you're not supporting the players if you do that, or they've flung Trump's words back at him. What I see when players lock arms is unity, a step towards greater unity in the purpose of the protest, although we know that everyone who locks arms doesn't believe in what they're doing. But what I do see is unity in the idea that players have a right to protest during the anthem. When an owner steps out there and stands behind a player who's protesting, even if the owner is not taking a knee or raising a fist, he's saying, look, I respect what these guys are doing. And to me, that's very important.
How do you see it, Rich?
Well, my red line is disrespecting the flag and the anthem. But besides that, I might find it slightly distasteful, kneeling before the anthem or bringing any sort of political message to the field, but I don't think it's highly objectionable. So I think that the Cowboys sort of got to something that's a more workable compromise. What the Packers did maybe is another version of that. Just the red line should be nothing anyone says should compel you to disrespect the flag and the ideals and the history and the sacrifice that it stands for.
Meaning always stand hand on heart when there is a flag and the national anthem, Rich?
Yeah, no, that's the basic rule. And Chief Staff John Kelly, who obviously has a lot of credibility in this issue, given his own service to the country and the heartbreaking sacrifices his family made for the country in the form of his son's loss, put it very well. You know, we don't ask much of folks to demonstrate their gratitude for this country, and just standing for three lousy minutes, as he put it, and thinking about what the country means and the sacrifice of all those who have fought for our freedoms is just not too much to ask. And just at a practical level, I also think it undermines the protesters. You know, it just they'll say it's not about the flag, but it becomes all about the flag when you're disrespecting the flag. So there are all sorts of means to punch back at Donald Trump's free country. Everyone should feel free to do that. You can call him a bum the way LeBron James did. You can mock him and attack him on Twitter. You can do press conferences. You can do media interviews. You can kneel after touchdowns. You can do all sorts of things. Just don't disrespect the flag.
What do you say to that, Jesse?
Well, there's a lot to unpack there. Yep. I would agree that a lot of this from both sides is not about the flag, and it's about the issues that the athletes are trying to bring to the country's attention, issues of injustice, issues that African-Americans and people of color still are not treated fairly in this country. There are many people who disagree with that basic premise. If you judge by the policies of his administration, perhaps Trump does not agree with that premise, that we still need to secure equal justice for African-Americans and people of color in this country. So that's what this is about, and I think that a lot of the people that are really upset with the protest also do not believe that these are serious issues that the athletes are raising.
Let me toss something back at you, Jesse, though. Is this, when the protests are coming from the athletes, is it about the flag? Is it about the president? Is it about the president saying that people who kneel should be fired?
It certainly became about the president after he jumped into this situation. Before that, it was 100% about the issues. And I've interviewed plenty of players. I've interviewed plenty of fans. And I respect everyone's views. It's kind of like art. Two people will look at the same picture and see a different thing. Two people will look at the same protest and see a different thing. But these players, it is possible to have respect for your country and to have respect for the flag and still to kneel during it, to take a knee over larger issues. And so, you know, some people don't agree with that. And that's what America is all about, is us having the freedom to express ourselves in different ways, especially the type of ways that offend other people. That is what constitutionally protected free speech is all about. So now, though, I think it has become a rebuke to Trump for all these players saying, look, you're going to tell us we can't do something. You're going to tell us to be quiet and disrespect our moms like this. And by the way, like in an NFL context, in the black community, to talk about somebody's mother is kind of like the red line. And so they're going to come out and say, no, you know what? We're going to get on board with this protest, and we're going to show these people that we have the right to do this and we have the power to do this. And I think what happened with the owners lining up behind their players sort of proved, hey, man, the players are in the driver's seat on this. Now, that comes with a lot of responsibility, and we really have to see what happens next. It comes with a responsibility to take their protest beyond a gesture and into action, which is something that I definitely see happening right now.
Rich, is the president, though, the right messenger for this message? And there are even questions about how sincere he is. He's talking about the flag, but he disrespected John McCain. He disrespected Gold Star parents. He disrespected Barack Obama. How do you square that?
Well, I think he's pretty sincere in this sentiment. If there's one thing that's been consistent in his political philosophy, such as it is, over the last 30 or 40 years, it's been sort of a baseline nationalism and kind of a nationalistic attitude. Now, if you attack him, doesn't matter who you are, he'll attack you back. You know, whether you're a Gold Star family, John McCain, Trump attacked McCain first, but obviously that's been a very fraught relationship. And I don't support the way he said this. I would like American presidents to have fewer opinions on expressed opinions about our national life rather than more. I think the presidency has sort of assumed an outside role in the American system, one that was not really conceived by the founders, and the way he expressed it wasn't very respectable, obviously.
But how do you stand for calling people who are kneeling for a whole host of reasons as disrespecting the flag when we see a president and a candidate and a private citizen being disrespectful for certain important institutions and individuals?
True, but I would say that in some of those instances, Trump is wrong. We can litigate, all of them in detail, but in many cases, he's been wrong. But kneeling for the flag is wrong. The logic here is a little bit like if Trump came out and said, oh, I don't want these dirty bastards from Antifa to burn the flag, then every leftist activist in the country should head to the nearest street corner and burn the flag in reaction, just despite the president. And that's just not – that's a juvenile reaction. It's a wrong reaction. It's a counterproductive reaction. The history of protest movements in this country tends to be they benefit by appropriating and respecting the nation's symbols, not slighting them.
And this gets complicated just because the U.S. Supreme Court has upheld the right for people to burn the flag in this country. And I just wanted to throw something else in. Ted Nugent threatened the United States or threatened President Obama. Secret Service investigated him, and he was invited to the White House by Donald Trump.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't think that if we're going to litigate all the hypocrisies of politicians on this show, we'd need about a week. So I'm going to let that go. I do think it's important to differentiate between the protests of NFL players who are calling attention and trying to solve racial injustice and Antifa protesters who embrace the cause of violence to achieve their ends. This is a peaceful protest. And it seems sometimes that for those who are seeking more racial equality in America, there's never the right way to protest. Black Lives Matter is out there protesting, and, oh, that's not appropriate. You shouldn't be protesting over this. We're taking a knee. You shouldn't be protesting that way either. I went to the Philadelphia Eagles-New York Giants game last week and spent the whole time in the parking lot talking to fans. And every fan who said they shouldn't be taking a knee, I said, well, what should they be doing? What do you think?
Right.
And I got shrugs. I got raised eyebrows. I got a lot of I don't knows. So, you know, what I would hope is that people who feel that the athletes shouldn't be taking a knee maybe look past that and say, well, what are they upset about? What do they feel is the issue here? And can I relate to them on that? Do I agree with any of them on that? And if so, what can we do about it to address their concerns? Because the players feel like those issues are being ignored. Colin Kaepernick felt like the issue of police violence is being ignored and nothing is being done, no action is being taken. So maybe deal with the concerns rather than the what bothers you, and then we can move past this to a place of unity. And you know what? I've seen some of the owners doing that. For example, Cleveland Browns. Preseason, a bunch of players took a knee. The team was upset. The owner said, come in and talk to us. The coach said, come in and talk with the owners and the GM. They sat down together and mapped out an action plan for things they're doing in the community, meeting with the fire department, meeting with the police, having the team involved in more community activism to help the communities that are impacted by these issues. You do see that happening some places, and that's what needs to happen more so we can get past this spot.
And that's Jesse Washington, senior writer at ESPN's The Undefeated. Also with us is Rich Lowry, editor at National Review. We're obviously taking a very short break. We'll get back to our conversation. A lot of people that want to join it, 1-888-477-9499. Radio Times at WHYY.org. And you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscowane talking with Jesse Washington and Rich Lowry about the NFL protests, what they mean, what they signify. And we are joined now by Richard Allen Smith. He's a writer whose work has appeared in Esquire, Time, The Guardian, and he served as a sergeant in the Army, deployed to Afghanistan from 2007 to 2008, and was one of the authors of an open letter in support of Colin Kaepernick from American Military Veterans. And Richard Allen Smith, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Thanks for having me.
Why do you stand with Kaepernick?
Well, I think if you look through the history of American sports, the idea of activism for social justice among athletes is not a new one. This goes back to Jackie Robinson, who wrote in his own memoir that he wouldn't stand for the national anthem or the Pledge of Allegiance. And then on through, Muhammad Ali, Tommy Smith, and John Carlos, the Missouri Tigers basketball team just a couple years ago, the Minnesota Lynx have been very involved. So this isn't anything new. And additionally, I think it's particularly offensive as a veteran to hear the president attack a person, try to come after their job with a private employer for expressing a view that is contrary to one held by the president. Now, a lot of folks get bent out of shape when somebody says your comments are policed on Facebook or Twitter or whatnot and call that free speech. That's not a First Amendment issue. That's not the government oppressing your speech. The president of the United States coming after your job with a private employer because of your speech, that is the government oppressing free speech, and that just so happens to be one of the rights that, as service members, we raise our right hand and pledge to defend with our lives if necessary. So it's particularly offensive to me that this is the situation that we're in. And also, you know, I want to point out that the whole debate about this has kind of gotten out of kilter.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't about a flag or an anthem or about Trump. This is about people like Tamir Rice, a child who was murdered by police for playing with a toy in a park. This is about Sandra Bland, who would be alive today if she had not been unlawfully stopped in Texas. This is about, you know, any number of African-American men and women who are brutalized and killed in our streets every day by police in a situation where indictments for that, for the police officers who commit those murders, are rare and convictions are essentially non-existent.
Let me pick up on a couple of things and actually toss them to our guest, Rich Lowry, and to Jesse Washington as well. Richard described his concern and outrage, frankly, that the president would call for the firing of a private citizen. What do you say in response to that?
Yeah, no, the president of the United States should not be calling for the firing of anyone for exercising their free expression. Now, it doesn't make it any better, but it is important to understand this is bluster. He doesn't have the power to do it. It's not going to happen. No one who has the power to do it would actually do it, but it is a wrong thing to say, and we are a country that's in the midst of a crisis of free speech. You had a employee of Google posting something on an employee board that was supposed to be meant to air various free opinions and was fired for what he wrote just, you know, a month or two ago. And you know, it would be great if both the left and the right would stand up and say this is a country where the First Amendment is central to
I'm sorry. You're conflating two things that are completely different. Google is a private employer. They have every right to fire somebody for any reason since their staff isn't unionized.
Firing,
this is not the President of the United States
opinions.
Expressing your speech. And regardless of whether or not he has the ability to fire NFL players, the message he has sent is that if you speak out publicly against the president will come after your job in the private sector, and that has a chilling effect on speech across the country.
And I should add that
I understand your passion, but you interrupted me.
Hold on, gentlemen.
It's your view that private employers should fire people for their opinions. I think that's wrong. So, and I don't think Donald Trump should bloviate about.
Okay, wait. You can't talk over each other. I will play traffic cop here. Hold on 1 second. Let me toss something to you, Jesse Washington. Is a football game a place to protest police brutality?
Absolutely, and it always has been in the history of American sports and American society. Unfortunately, athletics has been one of, if not the most prominent place for African Americans to succeed. And a responsibility, we have felt a deep responsibility that has come along with that. Not that I'm an athlete, but as someone who is a private citizen who has somewhat more of a platform than your average citizen, African Americans have always felt the need to advocate for the voiceless among us, for the powerless among us, because relatively we have less of a platform. So I do think that it is the appropriate place, and it always has been. Jack Johnson, Muhammad Ali, Joe Louis, Tommy Smith, John Carlos, the list goes on, and I believe it will go on and on.
Let me play a montage we put together. These are some of the NFL fans. Some of them actually have been burning team paraphernalia, and these are some fans who are upset with the players. Let's listen.
Love the NFL, always have. Always been a huge fan. Wish I could have played in the NFL, but I had the athletic ability. Said I went in the Marine Corps. I served my country. My grandfather served our country. Both of them served in World War II. There are a lot of people that fought and died for that flag. And to disrespect it yesterday like you did, I'm done.
My team, the Pittsburgh Steelers, decided that they needed to keep themselves in the locker room while Mr. Villanova went out to salute the flag and to stand for the anthem. All right, this is what I think of that.
And my father was a Marine. My grandfather was in the Army. My uncle was in the Army.
Our son
is in the Army currently.
Richard, what do you say? And these are heartfelt feelings that by disrespecting the flag, it's disrespecting the troops who have fought for that flag. What is your response to that?
I mean, my response is that's nonsense. There was nothing that happened that was disrespectful to the flag. These are people that are getting caught up in non-issues that aren't related to the protest instead of thinking about what the protests are actually about. And that's the fact that black people in America are brutalized and murdered and maimed in our streets with impunity by law enforcement.
And you think this protest, and it was started, I should say, by about a year ago, has this protest then been effective, do you think, Richard?
I mean, we're on the radio talking about it now.
Right. But that's in part because the president went after the players.
Right, but we were talking about it last year and throughout the season as it was happening. We talked about it earlier this season as it happened. We talked about it given the issue that happened to Michael Bennett at that fight in Las Vegas where he was held in gunpoint by police. And also want to note that that kneeling, it's interesting that people say that kneeling for the pledge disrespects troops and veterans. If we recall last year how it happened that Colin Kaepernick started kneeling, he began his protest by sitting on the bench. Who told him that kneeling was an appropriate way to protest their national anthem? Right. It was a Navy SEAL veteran who also plays in the NFL, Nate Boyer, who asked him, hey, maybe you should kneel instead of sitting down. And Kaepernick took that critique in stride and began kneeling instead. So this has the blessing of a portion of the military community already through, you know, the letter that we put together in support of Colin Kaepernick and Black Lives Matter, as well as, you know, the actual players that he spoke to that said, hey, I'm a Navy SEAL, you should do this instead.
Jesse, let me put something to you. It's interesting that a number of the team owners and coaches are standing with players who took the knee, and yet Colin Kaepernick doesn't have a job. Is that hypocrisy on the part of the owners?
I don't consider it hypocrisy, but if I could address something first that Richard said, and that I don't want to dismiss the feelings that people have about the flag, about the anthem, and about it being disrespectful. I have to respect that, and here's why. I've spent so much time trying to explain to people of pallor, as some of my witty conservative people columnists will write, that, hey, this is something that offends me as a black man, and I would like you to avoid it. And I get so much of the responses, man, you need to get over it. That's not legit. I don't really care what your feelings are that you're offended. And so I'm going to respect Rich Lowry. I'm going to respect the veterans who say, you know, this protest really bothers me. I'm not going to diminish that, although clearly you can see that I'm here in support of the players and what they're doing. So I think it's important to acknowledge that they do have a right to that. Now, as far as Kaepernick not having a job, and is it hypocritical? No, I don't think so, because these guys were making a business decision. And while I do think that it's regrettable that Colin Kaepernick is being blackballed from his profession because of his political beliefs and because he chose to take a knee during the anthem, I think it makes business sense, and these people do have the right to do what's best for their businesses. And thousands of fans are telling these teams, look, I'm not going to support you if you sign this guy. The NFL is already in a spot, and let's not say that these protests, there's going to be a narrative developing, the protests are killing the NFL, the protests are killing the NFL. We've already seen the president put that forth. It's a combination of factors that's going on here, with head injuries being a problem, and people don't want to see folks like last night's game getting their heads detached from their bodies practically. There is an issue with the NFL handling domestic violence and how they're choosing to do that. There's an issue with young men having other things to do, like get on social media or play video games, than watch the NFL. Hmm. Ratings are declining, and now you have the anthem protests, which are causing more viewers. So the NFL is in a tight spot. I don't think it's hypocritical for them to stand behind the players' right to protest and not sign Kaepernick. And I think Kaepernick will get another shot at some point.
Interesting. That's Jesse Washington, senior writer at ESPN's The Undefeated. Rich Lowry, editor at National Review. And Richard Allen Smith, he's a writer, he's a veteran, and one of a number of veterans that wrote an open letter in support of Colin Kaepernick. Let me read some comments, and we'll get some folks to join the conversation. An email from JB. Does the flag represent the people, police, and soldiers, or the ideals of this nation. An email from Daniel: Trump made this issue exponentially worse by the way he interjected himself into this. An email from Gary: I'm a 73-year-old white Vietnam veteran. From my point of view, our president just doesn't get it. He goes on from there. A comment from Doreen: oh, please, you're just giving Trump oxygen. The NFL isn't that important. Let me pick up on that, Rich, and toss this to you. Is this an important discussion to have?
In terms of the future of the nation, no. But it's obviously one that people feel very passionate about. And so we're going to have had a lot of argument about it. It's a very mediagenic issue, you know, great for cable fodder and chat. But I would expect, you know, I think Trump's basically right that the NFL players who are just disrespecting the flag in this way are kind of painting themselves into a corner. I doubt it's sustainable all the rest of the season. Doesn't do their cause any good. I mean, it tells us something that Richard has had to repeatedly say in this program: it's not about the flag, it's not about the flag, it's not about the flag. That's because they made it about the flag. And if you really want to make it about something else, then use
it. You made it about the flag, Richard.
Well, hold on.
And it's a free country. You can have peaceful marches, radio interviews, Twitter feeds, all sorts of ways to express yourself in this country rightfully, but don't disrespect the flag.
Go ahead, Richard, and then we'll get Diana from Haverford to join us.
So this was made about the flag by people like Rich, who don't think that systematic racism and police violence against black and brown people, as he just said, is an important discussion to have for the future of our country. They would rather divide our nation and say you're either on the side of police and Donald Trump or you're against America. That's exactly what he's doing here. This is important. This is a conversation we need to have. As long as black people are being murdered in the streets with impunity, which is what this protest is about, we need to have this conversation. And I hope that the players do keep doing this this protest that was an action that was suggested by a patriotic former Navy SEAL.
The idea of taking the knee. Let me get Diana from Haverford to join our conversation. Hi, Diana. Go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi. I have 3 points. One.
Just do one if you don't mind. Sorry about that.
Oh, golly. Okay. I think it's important that people ask themselves what this means. When black men are protesting peacefully, for whatever reason, if they're protesting peacefully, why that is more offensive than black men, innocent black men, who are abused and killed by policemen? What does that mean when you're more offended by black men protesting peacefully?
Jesse, you want to take that?
Well, it means that a lot of folks don't think that those black men who have been killed, the unarmed folks, that they were all that innocent. There's a strong opinion in a lot of parts of America, which is more prevalent among Trump voters, that Trayvon Martin, on down the line, Eric Garner, Tamir Rice, they won't say it in so many words, but it boils down to they deserved it. So, you know, they caused their own deaths. And if you believe that way, then when you see these athletes who make a lot more money than you kneeling and protesting, mm-hmm. you are not very sympathetic to their cause. And you don't believe it. You know, I keep going back to this. I'm sorry to be repetitive, but do you believe that there is injustice, racial injustice in America? Do you believe it should be addressed? Do you believe that mass incarceration unfairly imprisons people of color and unfairly looks the other way in general terms for white folks? That is the question, and that really determines a lot of how you feel about this debate on the anthem.
So if you're kneeling, that is your message?
I think that is absolutely. That's the message if you're kneeling. It's not I don't like the flag. It's not I'm trying to disrespect you, although I understand that people are disrespected by that, and it's right. reasonable to feel that way. However, that's sometimes you got to really grab people and shake them up. You know, when my kids are acting up sometimes and I tell them, hey, behave, hey, simmer down, they don't listen. So sometimes I just got to kind of snatch somebody up and shake them a little bit. You know, I don't hit my kids, but I'll grab you. And that will break the spell, so to speak. And I think that's what these players are trying to do. They're trying to grab America by the shoulders and shake them and say, please listen to us. There is a problem that we need to fix. And you haven't been listening. Let's get it together.
Richard, we played a clip actually before we came on the air. This is something that the president said yesterday to a Fox reporter, saying a lot of my friends are owners. They're very upset. And he believes, he meaning the president, thinks that they are afraid of their players. How do you interpret that?
I mean, I interpret it, you know, given the context of all of the other comments we've heard from this president on race, as a president trying to inflame racial tensions, particularly among his base, which is white, by invoking the stereotype of the angry, scary black man. That is nothing more than that. That's blatant. It's transparent. That's what he's doing here. And that's what he's been doing through this entire controversy that he's ginned up, as we saw reported, I believe, in the New York Times yesterday, that he actually he sees this as a fight on behalf of his white working class base. That's who he's who he is trying to. That's his audience here. That's who he's trying to speak to.
What do you think, Rich? How do you interpret that?
Well, and there's definitely that element of it. It's just that he's on strong grounds when he says you should stand for the national anthem, and the players are on weak ground. And, you know, if you, let's talk about police protests. There wasn't any doubt, you know, the marches in Ferguson after the shooting there were about the shooting in Ferguson. You didn't have to explain, oh, it's not about this thing, it's about something else. It's because it didn't involve the flag or disrespecting one of the nation's symbols. And that's why I think these players are doing their own cause a disservice. Because we've had a week and a half now, we've had a debate not about police shootings, about the flag and whether they're disrespecting it because they're using the wrong means. And it means that's going to repel, you know, this is a country that's very divided politically, but there is still a persuadable middle on a lot of issues. And when you choose this particular means of protest, you're probably repelling that persuadable middle rather than...
The level of dishonesty that Rich is delivering here is actually hilarious. I would love to go back and pull some clips from National Review during the Ferguson protest of the atrocious rate of racially motivated coverage from NRO during that period that said, you know, these guys, if they want to protest, they should just be peaceful. Now we have a league full protesting peacefully, and he's saying they should be more like Ferguson. The fact is that for people like Rich and the National Review and that entire ecosystem, there is no acceptable means of protest for black men. Now,
we have to take a very short break. Richard, I'm going to keep you on. Rich, I'm going to give you a chance to respond, and I'm sure Jesse, you have some thoughts as well. We're going to take a very short break. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoane. Very quickly, we are talking about the NFL protest, taking the knee, free speech, the flag, professional sports, veterans, race, Trump, and more. Jesse Washington, senior writer for ESPN's The Undefeated, Rich Lowry, editor of National Review, and Richard Allen Smith, a veteran and one of the authors of a letter in support of Colin Kaepernick. Rich, let me just give you a chance to respond quickly to what Richard said, and then Richard, we have to say goodbye to you, and then we'll get some more callers in. But go ahead, Rich.
Yeah, thank you. Well, just for the record, I thought Jesse and I were having a civil discussion worthy of public radio. Then Richard came on, started raising his voice, started interrupting me, and now I guess he's calling me a racist. And the point I was making about Ferguson is we knew that was a protest about Ferguson. It doesn't mean that every means of those protesters was acceptable and right. It wasn't. Throwing rocks at cops and breaking things and burning down gas stations is wrong and also is not good for their cause. But I guess Richard's position would be if Donald Trump came out and said those things are wrong, those would be good things to do. And they wouldn't be about throwing rocks at cops or burning down gas stations. They'd be about something bigger. But that message will never get out if you're using means that are repulsive to most people.
All right. Just very quickly, Rich, because we got Richard, we have to move on.
Yeah, I just think that Rich should probably take a step back and not start telling black people how they should feel and how they should react to their systemic oppression in our country.
So that's proliferated.
Okay, all right.
I'm going to end National Review.
Oh, fair enough. I'm going to end this. I don't want to get sidetracked on something else. Richard Allen Smith, thanks for joining us on Radio Times. Jesse, let me turn to you. What, though, did you make of the president's remarks yesterday about the owners being afraid of the players?
I sort of loved it. I did, you know, because let's face it, the protests were week one of the NFL, you had about 10 guys protesting. Week two, you had, you know, a dozen here or there. And it's going along, and Kaepernick not being signed was still an issue. And then Trump you know, tossed a gas can into the fire, and all of a sudden you got almost 200 players protesting. This was, aside from a labor strike, the largest case of sports protest over social activism ever. And so, and I think that the players did realize, they, you know, Chris Long told me after the game in Philly last week, he doesn't tell us what to do. Now, this is a white guy who's in solidarity with players who are protesting, even though he is not himself taking a knee. And so, you know, I think that it was accurate. The players are sort of in control. They're driving the boat here. Now, that comes with a lot of responsibility.
Sure.
NFL ratings are being threatened. Their salaries are being threatened. If you're a marginal player, are you going to have trouble getting signed? It's a complicated situation, but I think that the players are driving the bus. Finally, in a sport where they have the least amount of financial and contractual security of any of the major sports.
Let me play a clip from one of the players, Philadelphia Eagles safety Malcolm Jenkins on CNN. This was just a couple of days ago, reacting to Trump's comments about protesting athletes. And it should be said that he has been very proactive within the NFL, also testifying before Congress about some of the issues that he cares about. But let's hear what he has to say.
I think nothing that he said acknowledged the work that guys have been doing. It didn't acknowledge any of the reasoning why guys felt the need to protest in the first place. And I think what that does is continues to lead to misunderstanding, continues to lead to arguments and strife. And I think it's an opportunity for him to really highlight, some of the work that players are doing to make America great, like he says that he wants. And I think the NFL plays a unique role in impacting its cities and impacting its communities.
Rich, anything you want to say in response to that?
No, I'll for once stay quiet on this one.
How about for you, Jesse?
Ditto.
Ditto. I mean, I think it speaks for itself, and much has been said in praise of Malcolm Jenkins and the work that he has been doing. Let me get, looks like Charles from Cheltenham to join us. Hi, Charles. Go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I think I didn't know what the Cleveland Browns organization did, and I believe, until your guest said it, Mr. Washington, I believe. And I think that's wonderful, and I think that like Malcolm Jenkins said, as an Eagles fan, you know, a lot of players do a lot of things in the community that people don't know about. But I think standing there locking arms for the national anthem is a wonderful way to do something. I believe taking a knee is reprehensible. My son was a corpsman. My whole family on both sides has been in the military since early 1900s. I think what they did is unforgivable. And as far as somebody saying that the president, who did violate the one of the five freedoms of the First Amendment with his comments, by the way, when he says that, you know, they should fire the SOBs, and that's talking about somebody's mother.
Absolutely.
Go anywhere in a city and have people use that 12-letter word to their children, to each other. The first six letters of that 12-letter word is mother.
I hear you.
If the NFL players want to do something about racism in the country, let's all go to Chicago.
Okay. I appreciate the call to Radio Times, Charles. Where do you think, I mean, where does this go from here, Jesse? And I mean, I'm asking you to look into your crystal ball to figure out what's going to happen on Sunday, what's going to happen the following Sunday, what's going to happen a year from now. Is this just a, I don't want to say tempest in a teapot, but just a kind of a nervous breakdown and then we move on?
No, I think that the owners really have been pushed to do something, and what they can do to demonstrate unity, to demonstrate progress, and to demonstrate the type of empathy and action that our caller was just talking about was to get behind the players who are actually doing something. The Eagles are going to be supporting what Malcolm Jenkins and Chris Long and these guys are doing and other players are doing in Philadelphia. The Browns are going to be in the community. That the NFL is very powerful. Billions of dollars, sometimes taxpayer-funded breaks behind
yep.
those dollars, but
yep.
that's
like
another discussion.
Like those stadiums, it is.
There
yes.
you go. So they have a responsibility. If they're about this community and we represent this city, how are you going to make Philly better and safer? Do you care about what's going on in North Philly? Do you care about what's going on in these streets where so many of your fans come from? I think that's what's going to happen next, that you're going to see more teams and more owners really address the root cause of the protests.
Let's hope so. Let me get Rodney from West Philadelphia to join our conversation. Rodney, go ahead. You're on the air.
All right. Thank you.
You're
what
welcome.
Strikes me is that if there's an international event or Olympics or Army-Navy game, I understand having the flags and the Pledge of Allegiance and the national anthem. But when I go to entertainment events like concerts and other things, that's not a part of it. So I don't really understand or see that we should necessarily have those ceremonies at an entertainment sporting event. And the fact that the boycott is on both sides, I think that's what stimulated the owners, the possible loss of revenue.
Fair enough, Rodney. I appreciate the call to Radio Times. And Richie raises an important question, which is how come at a sporting event we have the flag, the national anthem, we've got flyovers sometimes by the Air Force. Let me toss that first to you, Rich. What, is that a sort of mixing of metaphors?
Well, it's he does raise a good point. I think it's just become a practice at these sporting events, especially other leagues have been doing this for a very long time. It is a public gathering, and it's entirely appropriate to play the national anthem and for everyone to have that 3 minutes. We've talked a lot about unity.
Yep.
3 minutes of unity, being grateful for the nation. And the prior caller, I thought, made excellent points in a very pungent way. But I mean, it's just important to remember about the flag. It's not just a piece of cloth. It drapes the coffins of people who've fallen overseas and come back to this country. I defy anyone really to watch the folding ceremony at a funeral of a service man or woman and then kneel after seeing that. Every fold for the armed services has significance, has symbolism. So that's why people feel so passionately about the flag. And I entirely take Jesse's point about the importance of getting involved in communities. And I don't think anyone would disagree with that. So, again, I'm being incredibly repetitive over the course of an hour, but
it's all right.
There are all sorts of ways to express your disagreement and distaste and disgust with President Trump. Don't do it with the flag.
If I could jump on
go ahead, Jesse,
quick,
and then I want to play another clip. But, yes, go ahead.
Yeah, why are we so, quote-unquote, patriotic at these sporting events? Part of the reason is because our military pays teams to stage military and patriotic displays. The Department of Defense, and there's several good stories on the internet right now about how teams are getting hundreds of thousands of dollars to include this display or that display for the armed service, for patriotism. So it's been called paid patriotism. And as Senator John McCain said, it would be better if we did these things because we felt it was right or true and not because we're paid for it. And that sheds some sort of hypocritical cast on the claim that, well, this is all about our country. It's about dollars, too.
Well, that's fascinating. I didn't actually know that. I'm also thinking there are sporting events where you see the Confederate flag, and I'll just leave that out there. Let me play another clip, and this goes back to last Friday, President Trump at a campaign rally. This was for Luther Strange, who actually lost on Tuesday. But this is the president talking about his critique of the game.
Because, today, if you hit too hard, right, they hit too hard, 15 yards, throw him out of the game. They had that last week. I watched for a couple of minutes, and two guys just really beautiful tackle. Boom, 15 yards. The referee gets on television. His wife is sitting at home. She's so proud of him. They're ruining the game. Right? They're ruining the game.
Jesse, we're learning more and more about traumatic brain injury, especially of football players. There's been some really disturbing but also important research recently, literally looking at these brains and seeing how much they are being damaged because of this game. What was the president saying there?
He's saying, let them hit harder. It's
right.
Fun to watch, and we want to see that. And I think that's very dangerous. And the dangers of football are clear now. A recent study came out showing that children under 12 who should not play tackle football because it hinders their brain development. And so, we've seen boxing, the participation in boxing decline tremendously over the past few years. Football participation in many parts of the country is spiraling downward. And so that's all part of this existential threat that the NFL is facing. And then when you have the protests and viewers threatening to tune out on both sides, mind you, people are upset that Kaepernick's not playing. People are upset that players are kneeling. The NFL is really in a tight spot. They've got to do something. But what Trump said about taking the football out of football, let's keep the players' heads in football.
What do you think, Rich?
Yeah, I think this is the real threat to the future of football. I think the kneeling during the anthem will kind of fizzle out over time. There might be other ways to more appropriate ways to display unity or make the point about policing in this country. But it's the concussions and the brain injuries that may make the game sort of wither from the ground up, because parents are not going to want their kids to play in youth leagues, not going to play in high school. And that's the long-term threat to the game. And this is just a great example of President Trump, by the way, just sort of being like a bar stool bloviator. You know, this is the kind of thing you can hear in certain sports bars that is not particularly well-informed or correct opinion, in my view.
Let me play one more clip. This is Golden State Warriors superstar Steph Curry on declining to go to the White House.
Our president has... the things that he said and the things that that he hasn't said in the right times, that we won't stand for it. And by acting and not going, hopefully that will inspire some change when it comes to what we tolerate in this country and what is accepted and what we turn a blind eye to.
Jesse, it's unclear whether Curry was invited or uninvited, but certainly the president uninvited him. What are your thoughts about that? I'm just trying to figure out, so where we go from here?
We're in uncharted waters, it seems, and with a much different president with much different methods and tactics than we've had any before. You know, I see Steph Curry's got millions and millions of fans around the world, and especially among young people here in this country, who don't pay that much attention to politics. But when he starts talking about this, I got teenagers in my house. I got young kids in my house, and they know everything that Steph Curry does. And when he starts talking about this and saying it's important for us to pay attention to it, they wake up to it. We've had many very engaged discussions around my own dinner table about what's going on in the NFL, what kind of difference we can make as a black family in America with a relatively privileged position to address these issues beyond the protests. And so I think what Steph Curry did in his response is really admirable and commendable in that, hey, think about what's going on. Let's call attention and he is getting people to act that would normally just be sitting back and watching sports on TV. I think that's a great thing.
Rich, there's a caller that we don't have time to take on the air. This is Jillian from Center City. We can't take the call, but her comment is, kneeling is respect when it comes to church. And obviously, these are rituals. These are symbols. They have meanings sometimes to the larger culture, sometimes to the individual. But for some people, and I can see from some of my screens here, they don't see kneeling as a sign of disrespect.
Well, I mean, the context matters, right? A lot of us who are old school will stand when a woman comes in the room. We don't kneel. You know, you stand when the President of the United States comes in the room. You don't kneel. You kneel when you pray. You sometimes stand as well. But the U.S. code, flag code, sets out what you're supposed to do, and everyone accepts that this is the way to display respect for the flag. And the protest is supposed to display disrespect for the flag. I mean, that's the way it achieved its emotional charge and gains attention, and I think very counterproductive ways. But if it were just another way of respecting the flag and it was a ho-hum affair, we wouldn't be having a big national debate over it.
Jesse, you got 20 seconds, and then we have to say goodbye.
Think about the people who, after Obama's election, flew upside-down flags from their flagpoles across America as a show of protest against Obama. I think that sheds an interesting light on what this is all about.
Jesse Washington, thanks so much for joining us today on Radio Times.
Appreciate being here.
And nice to have you with us. Senior writer at ESPN's The Undefeated, Rich Lowry, thank you for joining us as well.
Thanks so much. I enjoyed the discussion with Jesse.
I understand. He's editor at National Review. Go to whyy.org/radiotimes, and you can find out much more about the program, including how to carry on a conversation on our Facebook page. Diana Martinez, the engineer for today's edition of Radio Times, the show produced by Debbie Bilder, John Ahrens, and Trinae Nuri. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. Thanks for joining us.